Hello, my name is Nick Spacek, and you're listening to From and Inspired By, a podcast about movie soundtracks and the people who make them. On this episode, we'll be discussing the film Class of Nuke 'Em High. Class of Nuke 'Em High was released by Troma Entertainment in 1986. While not directly a sequel to The Toxic Avenger, it takes place in Tromaville, New Jersey, the same locale of the studio's most famous film. Specifically, it takes place at Tromaville High, which is located next to a nuclear power plant. Is it a good film? No. Does it feature absurd violence, nudity, and absurdly disgusting special effects? Of course. It's a Troma film. Either you like it for what it is, or it offends you on every aesthetic level possible. There's not a lot of well-known music on the soundtrack to Class of Nuke 'Em High. Most of the acts are European metal bands who put out maybe one album, if that. GMT's Angel had been available on their 1985 EP, One by One, and can also be found on the CD reissue, War Games. They never released a full length. There are multiple bands named Stormbringer, and the band which recorded Rock and Roll Paradise for this soundtrack was from Switzerland, and the track can be found on their self-titled LP. Stratus's Run for Your Life was on their Throwing Shapes album, making it official that all three acts only ever released music in Europe, as that LP was originally released in only Belgium, but also in Japan. On the American side, David Behenna doesn't have any major releases, and it appears that Emotional Refugee is his only notable recording. The Smithereens' Much Too Much, which the band performs in the film, can be found on their Beauty and Sadness EP. They did have several notable minor hits, such as Blood and Roses, and still are together with their original lineup. Ship to Shore Phonograph Company put out the soundtrack as their first release at the end of 2014. The digital version of the soundtrack includes track-by-track commentary by Troma president Lloyd Kaufman, and it actually gives some pretty great insight into the choices they made musically, including this nice little anecdote regarding the Smithereens.
I wanted them to wear gas masks and the hazmat suits, and they were very, very polite and suggested, well, maybe we want to have our faces seen. Well, she never goes steady on the pedals. I'm wondering why.
That girl is much too much.
She doesn't want to know me, but I'm gonna be a regular guy.
That girl is much too much.
According to Ship to Shore's Aaron Hamill, there were some issues putting the soundtrack to Class of Nuke 'Em High together. A couple of the songs had to be sourced from their original vinyl pressings because the masters were lost. Luckily, Ethan Hurt, who composed the theme, did keep the original master tapes for that song and had actually remastered it himself a few years ago in preparation for its inclusion in Return to Nuke 'Em High. Interestingly enough, Ethan Hurt's Class of Nuke 'Em High theme is not the most famous song he composed. As a matter of fact, Hurt, along with Lee Curreri, wrote Be My Music from the TV series Fame. The song was included on the show's first soundtrack LP, The Kids from Fame, which was a smash UK release, spending 46 weeks on the UK album charts, including 12 weeks at number one. It ended up being the second best-selling UK album of 1982, beaten only by Barbra Streisand's Love Songs. We spoke by phone with Ethan Hurt about his Class of Nuke 'Em High theme, as well as the song which was left out of the original release, but found its way onto the Ship to Shore LP.
How are you?
I am well. Thank you for speaking with me today. I guess the best place to start would be, how did you first get involved with Class of Nuke 'Em High?
Well, the Class of Nuke 'Em High, I was in a band called Ethan and the Coup, and my manager had heard about the film company Troma that was doing the film. I didn't know much about it. I just knew that they did B films and like that. It was a film about mutants and all kinds of other stuff. Knew nothing about it. But I said, let's give it a shot. So we wrote two or three tracks. We recorded one of them, which ended up being Nukem High. And they accepted it, like, instantaneously because it's actually perfect for the film. But we wrote it by accident. We had no script. We had no producer's notes, nothing. And then we recorded it, and Michael Herz and Lloyd Kaufman were crazy for it, and they put it in the film back in 1986. And then, as you know, they asked to put it in the new film, Return to Nukem High. I actually have two songs in the first and second film, Return to Nukem High 1 and 2, and there were like three bands that ended up recording other versions of my song, Nukem High. So they're also in the two films. So there's like five or six appearances of my stuff, which is just crazy.
Was it really satisfying when Ship to Shore put out the release late last year of the Class of Nukem High soundtrack to actually have it see sort of physical release even like almost 30 years later?
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. I think they did an awesome job of, I had given them a remastered version, but then they obviously mastered it again for vinyl, and I think it came out unbelievably well. So I think they really put out a gorgeous product there. And the other songs on that too. I also have another song on the record, believe it or not, which was supposed to be in the first movie in 1986.
I was kind of curious about the story behind We Are One, because there's a little, the digital version comes with commentary by Lloyd Kaufman, and he mentions that it kind of came in after the deadline, and I was curious as to sort of the idea and the story behind that song.
Well, just, as you know, we and as I already said, we had no clue what the film was about. We just knew it was about a high school, mutants, and things like that. And We Are One was just kind of like a campy, anthem-y song that I wrote, where I wanted to, like, tie everything together, that no matter what happens in this world, we are one. If everything blows up and goes to hell, we are one. And it was just, it really was more, you know, it's just like, I guess it was like a spiritual offering. You have to understand, I wrote serious music, so this for Nukem High was kind of like, you know, can you do music for a B film about mutants and, you know, all kinds of other things, and I knew nothing about it, so I just wanted to add, like, my own flavor. But we never could get it done. We literally were on a one-week deadline. If you read the liner notes of the Ship to Shore release, I talk about that in those liner notes, that we really had no time to get out one song, let alone three songs. And there was a third song which we never recorded, which was called The Baby Is Born, which is funny too, because we wrote that blind as well.
What was that song about?
Well, interesting enough, it was just like a mutant making love to a woman and them having a baby, and this. And I knew nothing about the film when I wrote the lyrics, and when we wrote the actual song, and that is like a scene in the movie Class of Nukem High, 1986. So it was just crazy. It was a meant to be moment.
Exactly.
And at the time, I mean, I was touring in Europe, with my band. I couldn't get a record deal here if I bought one. I had had a hit record in 82 with Be My Music. It was on an album that sold 3 million copies in England. It was actually the number two record that year. Michael Jackson's Thriller album was number one that year in England, as we all know. And my record actually was number one for 2 weeks, and Michael Jackson was number two for 2 weeks. So, you know, that's like my little fun fact that I like to remember. But I was coming off of that, but the kind of music I was doing, nobody was signing in the United States at the time. And kind of like this acoustic rock and roll thing. In fact, I had gone to Sid Bernstein, who had brought the Beatles here, and he had a management company, and he, who, interestingly enough, he signed Laura Branigan, and I think he got Michael Bolton his deal, and he said, it's the wrong timing for you here. So the thing I was doing wasn't happening in America. So I went overseas. I had had this success in England, over 3 million records sold, and, you know, that's where I made my thing. That's where I made my mark, in Europe. But that being said, so we get this assignment to do this Newcomb High thing. It sounds fun. We don't have any time to do it, and we blow out that, what I think is kind of like an iconic song at this point. Not just because I wrote it, but it's pretty haunting, Newcomb High. And I also think We Are One is a haunting tune as well, but it came out, we didn't make the cut.
So what are your current projects you're working on?
Oh, that's so interesting. Well, just a footnote, in 2000 I put out a film that I produced called What's Cooking. I started, you know, putting music together for this project. Juliana Margulies, Kira Sedgwick, Mercedes Rule, all-star cast. Little film, little nothing film, one Sundance that year. Little nothing film we made for $5 million. But I ended up raising the $5 million, me and a partner. And we ended up putting out that film. So I did that. And in between, I've been putting out records, not that much, but I've been releasing certain things. Some of my stuff's on YouTube. Not really, you know, I kind of am retired from the business in that sense. However, I constantly get calls, will you do another record, will you do another this or that? And honestly, Nick, I'm more interested in maybe doing something on vinyl, which is where I started out, you know, and I'd like to kind of go back to those roots.
Well, Ethan, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye.
The last track on the soundtrack, Glenn Acker and Michael Brody's Class of Newcomb High Part 2 theme, was available on a 1994 CD entitled Toxic Tunes from Tromaville, which came out on the Netherlands Southeast Records. That features a lot of otherwise impossible-to-find Troma music, such as the Toxic Avenger 2 theme. There were two sequels to Class of Newcomb High, 1991's Class of Newcomb High 2, Subhumanoid Meltdown, and 1994's Class of Newcomb High 3, The Good, the Bad, and the Subhumanoid. Part 2 is actually pretty great. It's more gross-out comedy than nihilistic sci-fi comedy, but it's a lot of fun. Part 3 is a grind to get. Return to Newcomb High Volume 1 came out in 2013, and the sequel is due out in 2016 after funding through a successful Kickstarter. How to get it? As we said, Ship to Shore Phonograph Company released the Class of Newcomb High soundtrack on LP in 2014, and it's sold out. However, you can buy a digital version of it, complete with Kaufman's commentary, at cdbaby.com. We'll provide a link on the website. Speaking of the website, you can find From and Inspired By at fromandinspiredby.com. We are also on social media, both Twitter and Facebook, at FromInspiredPod. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an interview with Matt Barkowiak, one of the co-authors of the new book from McFarland Publications, The Music of Counterculture Cinema, a critical study of 1960s and 1970s soundtracks.